For the reading of the Word of God, okay?
You can be turning in your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter number 14. Exodus, chapter number 14 this morning. It's where we'll read our text and try to bring three simple little thoughts that the Lord has laid on my heart this morning. And they are very, very simple thoughts indeed. No question about that. And I don't think it'll take us over four and a half hours to get through them. And if I preach too long, well, we'll just go home and eat a quick supper. Not lunch now, or dinner. We'll go home and eat supper. And then come back and go another round. Amen.
Amen.
Might bring some of these young men up here and let them preach a little while. Get them keyed up, tuned up. Watch anybody come there frowning. They don't. All right. Exodus chapter number 14. And I want to begin reading in verse number 19. The Bible said, and the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Now may the Lord add his blessing to that portion of Scripture this morning. Let's go to him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful this morning that we have your word before us. Thank you, Lord, for your great love wherewith you loved us, even while we were yet sinners, the fact that Christ died for us. We rejoice in that this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the fellowship that we have with your people and the privilege we have to worship. Thank you for the house of God and the ministry you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for the life that you've given us not only here but beyond this, to that world, Lord, and that place that we call heaven in thy holy presence. Bless now every family that's here today and those listening by radio as well. I pray for every heart that is troubled and every body that is diseased and all that are sick and afflicted, those that are traveling, those that are away from us. Give them grace and divine help today. And bless, I pray, Lord, and we'll thank you for the power and the grace that you give to preach your word and liberty as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. That the Word of God said there in chapter number 14 and verse 22 that the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and they crossed the Red Sea. They have come to their first obstacle on the way to the promised land. And the Bible said that the waters were parted and became a wall unto them. They passed on dry land. The cloud that had went before them had come risen up and stood behind them, between them and the camp of the Egyptians all night long. And they went across to on dry land. That cloud was a light unto Israel that they might see, but a darkness unto the Egyptians that they might not see. And therefore they could not come near one another all night long. Now I want to get on that thought, and I've preached it so many times, I've not preached it this way like I'm doing tonight, this morning. But I've preached on the Red Sea crossing a number of times, and that's what I want to preach on again this morning, if God will help me, on making the crossing.
Amen.
Making the crossing. And you know, someday, just like they made that crossing, you and I are going to make the crossing as well. And whether it be by the veil, or whether it be in the catching away of the people of God in what we call the rapture, we're all going to make that crossing. And if we make it through the veil, it'll be by death. And it is appointed unto man once to die. The Bible said, after this, the judgment. And so men are going to die. I've learned that down through the years, that men die. There's not a thing we can do to prevent it. They can, I appreciate good medicine, and they can come up with all the drugs and the medications and surgeries and this and that that they want to, and I appreciate them giving a few more years of life to people. But the fact of the matter is, there'll come a day when you and I will die unless the Lord catches up us out of this world before that. But you know, the scripture we're looking at is just following the night of the Passover. And I preached that to you, how that the Lord passed through the land of Egypt. And the firstborn of man and beast in the land of Egypt died. All those that had not by faith applied the blood of the Passover lamb to the doorpost and the lintels of their house, the Bible said that the firstborn died. And a great cry went up. And there's no question that that great cry that went up and the death of the firstborn from the house of Pharaoh on his throne to the maid behind the meal definitely put some fear into the hearts of the Egyptians. And that fear caused them to let Israel go. And they, in fact, they thrust them out of the land. They thrust them out in such a manner that the dough, and I'm not talking about this kind of dough, amen. I'm talking about the dough you make biscuits out of. The dough that they took with them, they didn't even have time to put leaven in it. Therefore, they ate unleavened bread. I don't know why I'm saying all this, but I am. But that unleavened bread had a place in their life. It turned into a festival that they had, that they were not allowed to eat anything with leaven or have any leaven in their home. And so in the providence of God, they were thrust out of the land, not having enough time to put leaven in their bread. They had to eat that unleavened bread. And they were cast out of the land and went by the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the Bible said in chapter 13, and I want to begin there, and in verse number 37, that they journeyed from Ramses, and they came to a place that's called Sukkoth. Now, that place, Sukkoth, becomes very instrumental in the life of Israel, because the word itself means booths. It means booths. And it later was out of those booths that Israel began what is called the Feast of the Tabernacles. The word itself, they came, and I've got 3 points, in camp, entered into, and exited out of, and that's it. They came and they encamped there in a place called Sukkoth. Now, that place has got a real meaning behind it. It has a meaning of a resting place. And I preach the Christian rest a great deal, or mention it a great deal, because the Lord said that we could have that rest, and we can. He's come to give those that will trust in Him a salvation rest. And there is a seventh day rest. And thank God there's coming one of these days a salvation rest when we'll enter into the presence of Almighty God and rest forevermore. But the Lord here has given Israel a rest. They come to Sukkoth. And they literally put up a temporary dwelling place there. Temporary houses. Huts, if you please. Booths, if you please. And so the thought there is that their rest that they had was just a temporary rest. And you know, although we have rest in Christ here now, I hate to say it and sound this way, but in this world it is just a temporary rest. We're dwelling in booths. This tabernacle that we're living in today is just more or less a tent. It's more or less a booth. It's a temporary dwelling place. And we can enjoy that. And the reason we can, it's our first stop. It's our first resting place, after being brought out of Egypt. Now I want to thank God this morning that we've been brought out of the land of Egypt. And God has brought us to the land, to the Sukkoth, and let us dwell, permitted us to dwell in that temporary dwelling place that we call this tabernacle or this body of ours. And so we've got a temporary dwelling place. But you know, there's something beyond that. I'm glad, thank God, that there is an eternal rest for every child of God. And if you'll read in the book of Hebrews, you'll find that now Israel did not enter into that rest. And therefore it remaineth that some should enter into that rest. And I'm glad today that God is calling out of this world, hell-bound sinners that are lost and deserving to go to hell, contrary to what that woman up in West Virginia believed. They're deserving of hell. But I'm glad there is a Spirit of God today that is seeking out the hearts of men and convicting them and converting them, and not only giving us a temporary rest in this world, but looking forward to that eternal rest as well when we make that crossing. They hadn't made the crossing of the sea yet, ladies and gentlemen. They're still on the other side, but they're enjoying a rest. Hey, they have come out of the land of Egypt. Oh, I'm glad God's brought me out of the world. I don't know about you, but this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. You know that old song. What we have now is not the rest that we're going to enter into eventually someday. There's coming a day when we're going to lay our burdens down by the riverside. Praise God. That's right. And we're going to pass into the presence of God, into that place called heaven, and enter into that eternal rest. But we're going to have to make the cross and to get there. We've not made that cross yet. Somebody said, well, I'm afraid to die. Well, I'm not going to jump out in front of a freight train myself just to get the job done. But I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not afraid of death. In fact, I'm kind of longing for that day when God will call me out of this world. Amen. And cross that river that we talk about crossing Jordan, and that's not into heaven, but we talk about crossing that Jordan River and getting into heaven. Now I'm going to say there's coming a day when we will have to cross through the chilly waters of death and get into heaven. But thank God there's coming a day when God Himself will cast death and hell into a lake of fire. There'll be no more death, folks. Now I'm going to say, when there's no more death, there's no more fear. And when there's no more fear, there's an eternal rest for the children of God. They found a temporary rest at Sukkoth, but I'm telling you that temporary rest was before they ever made the crossing. Amen. Praise God, we've not made that crossing yet, but I'm going to make it one of these days. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm going to make it one of these days. Yes, sir. And so that means a resting place. And then I want to say, secondly, that it was a place of remembrance. Look at chapter 13 and verse number 3. The Bible said, and Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand of the Lord, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall be no leavened bread be eaten. Now somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that it was a night and a place to remember. And folks, hey, I've stressed that till I'm blue in the face. You cannot read through this Bible, especially in the deliverance of Israel, without coming across time and time again where the Bible instructed them to remember that night and remember that place that God brought them out of. Now I'm telling you, if you ever lose sight of where God brought you from, you're going to be in serious trouble. Hey, it is a night to remember. Brother, that day that you knelt at an old-fashioned altar and God, by His marvelous grace, birthed you into the family of God, that is a day and a night and a place that God wants you to remember. Hey, don't ever let the devil run that out of your mind and out of your heart. It'll cause you to get in trouble. But I'm telling you, if we'll remember the cross and where we met Christ, I'll tell you, we can have a time resting in Him even on this side of the cross. Amen. He said, it's a night to remember. Brethren, it was a night to remember. There's been no other nights like that. When the death angel passed through. and the blood had been put on the doorposts and lintels. No other night in all the world, any time, like that. Now I will say to you, there's never been another day like that day Jesus died on the cross. Brother, the cross is a pivotal point of all society. Of all, everything that takes place in the world. You realize that Christ's death on the cross even changed the date? A.D. and B.C.? Are you listening to what? Hey, that is a day to remember. Somebody said, when did he die? Well, I've got my thoughts. You can have yours. But I believe he died on the 14th day of April. Our April. The first month. That's when they killed the Passover. And he is our Passover. Now, you don't have to believe that if you don't want to, but I believe that. But I'm simply saying that we better remember the cross. Son, I'm telling you, I remember Dr. Sadler got up on Sunday morning talking about preaching for a young man. So that young boy got up and said, I'm going to preach the next 52 weeks on the home. Dr. Sadler said, I never said a word to him. Said, I thought in my mind, I don't believe I'd want to stray from the cross that long. Amen. And I don't. I'm going to tell you, the longer I preach, the more convinced I am that people need to hear about Calvary. Amen. It is still the preaching of the cross that sinners are saved by. There is power in the blood of the Lamb. Now I'm telling you, there's something about Calvary that ought to keep our hearts tender and warm and blessed and health. No wonder God said, death is a night and a place to remember. Don't ever let it get out of your mind. In fact, tell it to your children and to your children's children about this night. Now I'm going to tell you, it's a night to remember, not only because of the cross. When he died. But brother, it's a night or a day or a morning or an afternoon or whenever it was to remember when you got in by the grace of God. Yes, I'm going to tell you, Brother Andy, that night out there in your automobile when you walked out of that bar, that's a night to remember. Amen. Don't ever lose sight of it. Somebody said, I don't remember the exact day I got saved. I'll guarantee you some of them didn't remember the exact day. But I can tell you one thing. You had never convinced them when they crossed that Red Sea that they were still in Egypt. Amen. They may not remember today, but they knew they weren't in Egypt. Amen. They knew they weren't under the hand of Pharaoh and Pharaoh's taskmasters. Hey, you may not remember the day, but I'm going to tell you something, honey. You certainly understand the fact that you're not under the power of sin any longer and the power of the devil any longer. That you're free in the head and if Christ has made us free, we are free indeed. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. I don't know about you, but I want to remember. I want to remember I walked in the other day. I hadn't even thought about it. Wasn't even, you know how we are, our old minds, we're just forgetful, Brother Herford. We might as well admit it. We don't remember things like we ought to. And it's not just an old age thing. I don't care what, no, it's not just an old age thing. But I walked in the other day, walked in the front door, looked in there at Brother Steve, and he looked through that window in there at me. He said, happy birthday, preacher. I stopped a minute and I said, oh, he's talking about, this is the 13th of September. Praise God, this is the day I got saved on. He wasn't talking about birthday as far as years and age, but as far as being saved by the grace of God. Hey, and I hadn't even given any thought, but he knew it. He knew it. And I'm going to tell you something. You ought to be glad. You ought to be glad that you got a preacher that'll stand up here Sunday in and Sunday out and remind you that there was a time and a place in your life when you met Christ and there's been no other day, no other night in your life like that day. It changed your whole outlook on life. Amen. You got a fresh look at yourself and a new look at the Savior. Amen. And got a look at what's on the other side waiting on you. God brought you to that resting place. And that resting place was a place, he said, now remember. I want you to remember this night above all nights. Now may I say that Sukkot not only was a place of a resting place and a place to remember, but it was there that they found the route that they was going to take. And they, Moses brought them down by the Red Sea, and they said, hey, it's because there wasn't any graves in Egypt. You brought us out here to die in the wilderness. Now, isn't that something? They were fussing because they were in the wilderness. But they didn't realize, had they went the short route. See, we don't want to go the long route. We won't take all the shortcuts. But they didn't have enough sense to realize the shortcut would have took them through the land of the Philistines. And their faith wasn't strong enough to fight. Neither were they equipped to fight a war with them people. And God knew that. So God led them the long way around. Hey, it wasn't a pleasant way. It was through the wilderness. But I'm going to tell you, at least there were no battles to fight with the Philistines there. Somebody said, oh, I don't like the wilderness. Well, I'm not crazy about it either. I've been in the jungle a few times. You think you've been in the jungle, you ain't been in the jungle. Some when you get in a place where you've got to cut your way through it with a machete, sometimes get down on your hands and knees and crawl through it, and get on your belly and crawl under it, you've been in the jungle. I did, but they were in a way, I didn't much like it. But I'm going to tell you what, I enjoyed it better than being shot at. Amen. That's right. Now I'm telling you, the wilderness is not a pleasant place to be. But God knew their faith wasn't strong enough at the time. And God knew the best for them. And it was there that God planned their route for them. He said, we're going down to Baal-Zephon, and there is where you're crossing the Red Sea, and there's where you're going to start your march toward the Promised Land. Amen. I'm going to tell you something, folks. That day we got saved at Calvary, whatever it was, morning, noon, or night, I'm telling you, it was right there that you got your route planned for you. God lifted you out of the miry clay and set your feet on a solid rock and established your goings. Amen. He gave you a route to travel. This is the line I want you to follow. I'm glad of that, aren't you? Somebody, y'all look at me kind of strange. Somebody said, you mean the route's already planned? Oh, yes. It was, hey, God didn't ask them, which way do you want to go? I'll just leave it up to you. Just do whatever you want to do. He didn't say that. Brother, he had a route planned and a direction planned he wanted them to take. Now I'm telling you, he's already got one plan that God wants you to take. And hey, if you ever get out of that, you're out of the will of God. I don't give a flip what nobody says. Oh, yes, I'm glad we got a route. We've got a path. It may get slippery sometimes. That path may be slippery. I'm telling you, there may be snares along the way. There may be not only snares, but nets along the way from that old slew foot we call the devil. But I'm glad that we got a Savior that puts light along our way and darkness to them, hallelujah to God, and helped us make our way and our journey through that path that will ultimately lead us to making the crossing. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to heaven, praise God. Oh yes, heaven is a wonderful place. It's the most wonderful place that you've ever seen in your life. No devil, no sin, no sickness. No worry, no trouble, no payments. Amen. 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 No bills. Praise God. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about somebody by the name of Bill either. I'm talking about them things that comes in the mail we call bills. Amen. Won't it be wonderful? Yes. Don't have to pay no bills. Now, we have to pay them now. I can't help but say this. Praise God, I'm glad there's one bill I don't have to pay. Woo! Amen! That one's already paid for! Paid in full at Calvary! That's right! That sin bill, that S-I-N sin bill, was paid at the cross, ladies and gentlemen! I don't have to worry about making that payment! It's already paid in full! Hallelujah! No payments on the mansion, it's paid for. Amen! No payment to be made on the transportation up there. No payment to be made on the transportation back. Now I'm going to tell you, you had to pay for the mile bill a long way. A long way to heaven. But we're going up there and coming back. Amen. Then we're going in there. And it's a long way up there and a long way back. Then we, hey, What about all the all that expense of 1,000 years on this earth? We ain't going to pay for none of it. Jesus is going to pay it all. And it's because of that night. Don't ever forget that night. That first resting place. Remember it. And remember that it was there that God gave you a route and a path to follow. And we better follow that all the days of our life. And so the encampment there at Sukkoth. Then I want to say secondly. I want to say secondly. Not only the encampment at Sukkoth, but they went to the wilderness in verse 20. I've already mentioned that. And they must have had some faith when they left the land of Israel, because the fact that Joseph had told them concerning his bones that God will surely visit you. And don't, hey, now get a hold of this. Somebody said, this is not very deep, deeper than you think. Joseph said, God will surely visit you and carry you hence. He said, when he does, remember me and don't leave my bones down here. But take my bones with you to the land that he promised our fathers. I want to ask you something. If they did not believe they were going to Canaan, why'd they take them bones? Oh yes, son. They had enough faith to believe that they were going to Canaan. Period. I'm going to ask you something this morning. Do you have enough faith to believe you're going to heaven? Or are you just playing church? Are you just playing games? Are you a hypocrite? Come on in the house, ladies and gentlemen. It's time to pull the mask off and get real. I'm telling you, time's running out. We better make sure that our calling and our election is sure before God. So time's running out. When they left, they said, oh, wait a minute. Joseph said, we're going to Canaan, so we better take his bones. Amen. So they must have believed, regardless of the wilderness, regardless of Pharaoh chasing them, regardless of the Red Sea, regardless of the crossing, regardless of the 40 years, they must have believed they were going to Canaan. And to Canaan they went. God took them. Better believe that's right. Amen to God. Hallelujah. They believed they would arrive at Canaan. And then also, at this place, they got their first glimpse of His glory, of His presence. Look at verse 21 and 22, chapter 14. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back. No, I need to go to verse 19. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and a darkness to them, but it gave light the night to these, so that they came, the one came not to near the other all night. I'm going to tell you something. They got their first glimpse of His presence. Amen. That's right. That crowd down there, if they had seen the doorpost, they had seen hey, by the way, when the death angel passed, the people on the inside couldn't see the blood. By faith, they took it was there. That song that we used to sing, Daddy, go check and see if the blood's still there. It's still there. I'm telling you, we can't see the blood, folks. Amen. You know why we're on the inside? Blood's on the outside, thanks. Whoa, but out there's where the trouble's at. There ain't no trouble on the inside. Somebody said, where is it in the inside? In the bosom of Jesus. Yes, sir, we're in the... You don't believe that, do you? We're right. We're all wrapped up right in the bosom of Christ. And the blood's on the outside. We can't see it. But I'll tell you what we can see. When He put us in there, we got the first glimpse of Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo! I'm talking about looking at His heart. I got to look at His heart and His love with His great love. Where would they love, old Brother Hall, and you as well, when we were yet sinners, and the fact that He died for us. They got that first glimpse of His presence. Now, I wonder how we're going to act when we see Him. Somebody said, what's it going to look like? What are we going to look like? I don't know. But we're going to look like Him because we're going to see Him as He is.
Yes, sir.
What about that first glimpse? Now, by faith, we've seen it. That day to remember when He opened up our eyes that were blind. Like that blind man in John chapter number 9. He was looking Jesus right in the face. Was he not? Am I wrong? He said he was looking Jesus right in the face. And Jesus asked him, he said, would you believe on the Son of God? He said, well, I would if I knew who He was. And Jesus said, He that speaketh with thee, and he that looketh at thee, is He. And he said, Lord, I believe. That man had been blind from birth. Can you imagine how he felt when his eyes were open and the first thing he saw was Jesus? I know. Well, somebody asked Fanny Crosby one time. She was born blind, lived all her life blind, wrote songs, all kind of songs in that song book. But Fanny Crosby, she was blind. Somebody asked Fanny, said, wouldn't you like to have your sight? She said, no. They said, no, I don't understand that. She said, well, I do. I can tell you why. She said, I want the first thing and person that I ever see in my life to be Jesus. Woo! I'm going to tell you, I ain't never seen Him with a naked eye. But by faith, I got a glimpse of His presence. Amen! When He brought me out of Egypt and brought me to Sukkoth, and that cloud rose up and stood there, I got a good glimpse of the presence of Jesus in my life. Hallelujah! And by the way, the work that He was doing for me, separating me from my enemy, separating me from death, separating me from devil, darkness on that side, light on this side, and I've been separated from death and the devil and given life. Hallelujah! Amen. If y'all can't tell it, I'm happy. Amen. That's right. So, and then it was there in that path that they got the first experience of His power. Of His power. Moses in verse number 21, they said in verse 13, Moses said unto them, just fear not and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord that He'll show you today. And for today, for the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more, and the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And I'm going to tell you in verse number 21, Moses stretched that little old shepherd's rod out over that sea, and by the power and the strength of the arm of God, he said he brought him out by a strong hand, and by the strength and the power of God, that water parted and became a wall on both sides, and they went across on dry land. You, hey, can I carry you back there again? Do you remember that day when you were between a rock and a hard spot? When in your life there was a wall, you couldn't get through it. You couldn't climb over it. You couldn't go under it. You couldn't go around it. There was nowhere to go. And behind you was death. And the devil, and both sides, there was an impetus that you could not get over. Amen. You remember that day? Yes. And you cried out to God. Yes. And God said, Why criest thou unto me? Tell the children of Israel, go on forward. Go forward, Lord. There's a sea there. Just go forward. Yes. Just be obedient. That day you met Him at the cross, all He told you was, go forward. Go forward, and it's His business to open the water and to part the sea. And I'll tell you, when you was between that rock and hard spot and could not get across, I'll tell you, if you'll go forward, He'll part the water, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. There's a crossing to the other side. Thank God. I'm headed for that crossing. On the other side, you can say, amen or oh me, I'm not going to have a fit and a spell up here. Praise God. Amen. That's right. I see you looking at me. She told me when we got home last week, she said, I see you didn't get the job done again today. I said, what are you talking about? She said, you didn't kill yourself. She said, you tried, but you didn't get it done. I'm not going anywhere till God's ready for me. Amen. When He's ready for me to die, I'll die. Not before, and you won't either. Not until He's done with you. That's right. So they experienced His power. Amen. And then their entrance into the sea. Look at verse 13. Moses said unto the people, fear not. They had some fear. Now I'm going to say there is a little fear. If there's not some fear in serving God, you've got a problem. You know what my greatest fear is? Am I doing right? Am I following the route that He's planned? Am I going in the right direction? Am I doing the right things? Am I doing all that I can do? Am I treating people the way God would treat them? Am I doing my best to be fair with everybody? Those are questions. Is my life, is it free from sin? These are things that I look at in my own life and fear. But I'm going to say, Moses said unto the people, "Fear not!" Woo! Did y'all get a hold of that? They feared those things, but he said, "Fear not." Tell the people to stand still. What? Not only fear, they had to have some faith. Stand still. They're getting close, Moses. God said, "Stand still." They're getting closer, Moses. That day you knelt at the cross, that old-fashioned altar, do you remember how death was creeping up on you and you could feel death's clutches reaching out and gripping into your soul? You knew that death was coming and hell was right behind it. You felt the power of Satan and the influence of Satan in your life gripping your soul as it's never been gripped before. You thought there was no hope. And suddenly out of nowhere, there came a voice that said, "Fear not! Stand still! And behold the salvation of the Lord." Now I'm telling you, if you jump in and try to swim, you'll drown. If you try to go backward, you'll die. When Christ brings you to that place in your life, friend, and conviction, I'm telling you, the only thing you have to do is stand still and behold the salvation of the Lord. And if you'll stay put, whoop, He'll part the water and take you over. You'll make the crossing. He'll bring you to Sukkoth, that place of rest. He'll bring you to Beelzebub, that place where they cross the Red Sea. Now, I guarantee you, by the grace of God, if you'll stand there with the devil, the hell breathing down your neck, God will part the water and you'll make the crossing to the other side. Now, I've got to hurry, not only for your sake, but for mine. Now, they had a little faith. That's why it says in Hebrews 11:29, it was by faith that they crossed the Red Sea. They, don't say anything about Moses, they crossed the Red Sea by faith. So they had some faith there, had some fear there. And I'm going to say something else they had there. They had a farewell. When that pillar of cloud got up and made a division between them and Egypt, and darkness fell over Egypt. Now, darkness, hey, listen carefully. Darkness fell over the power of darkness. Who is the power of darkness? The devil is. The devil is. And I'm telling you, the darkness fell over the power of darkness, folks. And can you get a hold of that? Amen. That power of darkness couldn't see you no more. I like that. Brother Foley. Devil don't even know where we're at. The power of darkness. Hey, they could not see one another.
Amen.
That power of Christ's darkness, that power settled in over them, and darkness brought darkness. Amen. Amen. They couldn't even see one another.
Amen.
If you can get a hold of that, folks, you'll make you shout. Yeah. Won't it, Brother Leroy? Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. You don't have to fear darkness no more. We don't have to fear death no more. You know why? Christ has done settled in on it and defeated it. He is the victor. You better believe He is. When He died on the cross and said, "It is finished." After three, from the sixth to the ninth hour, there was darkness over the land. The ninth hour, He cried out, "It is finished." And I'm going to tell you, when He said, "It is finished," the Bible don't say this,
But I believe when he said it's finished, the darkness fled away and the sun began to shine again. Now I'm telling you, when you knelt at the cross, amen, and darkness fell in on darkness, I'm going to tell you, Christ, and you believe Christ said, it's finished, and that darkness fled away.
Brother, in the power of that darkness fell away too. No more darkness. No more power of darkness. Now, listen very carefully. They said farewell. Farewell. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. I agree with my own writing. Christ divided the water. Can you imagine when the water parted and they saw that dry land was there? They probably looked back at Pharaoh and said, bye. Now you get a hold of this. There was 1.5 million Jews, men. Not counting women and children. Not counting the mixed multitude. And not counting all the animals. Somebody said that there was an excess of 2.5 million either people and or animals made that crossing. Now you can believe they crossed at the Reed Sea if you want to, where the water was about 6 inches deep. But if they did, a greater miracle than their crossing followed, because God drowned Pharaoh and his whole army in 6 inches of water. I don't believe that tale about 6 inches of water. Tell me how 6 inches of water can be a wall, a wall. Hey, somebody said, well, so-and-so said in his book. You better throw so-and-so's book away and believe this book. This book said the water, hey, became a wall on this side and a wall on this side. They crossed on dry land. That's what I believe. They don't need a strain and a gnat to try to swallow a camel. Just believe what the Bible says. I'm a Bible believer. Amen. I just believe that book. Now I know that water became a wall. Now imagine when they started walking through that water and it divided. They turned around and said, farewell, Egypt. Farewell, brick pits. Farewell, taskmasters. I've found my resting place. My soul has found a resting place. Not in device or creed, but it's in a person. His name is Jesus. I'm telling you, I rest in Him today. He's my all in all. I trust in Him for everything. If I can commit my soul unto Him, I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. What have you committed unto Him? I've committed unto Him everything. Body, soul, spirit, and everything I have on this side. What little work I've done, labors I've done, they're not mine, they're His. What I have in this life, it's not mine, it's His. I didn't have none. You know why I came into this world naked? And I bet you $5 ain't a person in here coming into this world with a diaper on. Not a soul. You came in naked. And I've got news for you. That book says naked, we're going out. Them idiots laying bottles of beer and this and that and caskets with them. Almost had a few beers in here, so John have a few drinks when he gets down to hell. He won't be worried about drinks. There'll not be one drunk in hell. Now I want you to listen to what I'm saying to you. I know what the Bible said in John in Revelation 20, verse 10. I didn't know that. But there'll not be one. I'll put this, there'll not be any whoremongering activity in hell. There'll not be any beer drinking. And if there'll be drunkards there. There'll be whoremongers there. There won't be any drinking there. And there won't be any whoremongering there. There'll be thieves there. But there won't be any thieving going on there. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says will be going on there. Weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's what's going to be going on there, friend. That's what's going to be going on there. Now I'm just about done. Their encampment. Their entrance and their exit. Their exit. If you would please, look at verse 29. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea. And the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on the left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord. and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Now I want to ask you something. I wonder what changed their mind from chapter 14 and verse 13 to this verse. It said, Moses told them, fear not. They wasn't fearing God in that verse. They was fearing what was behind them. But when they saw what God done, how God conquered their enemies, the Bible said they believed God.
Amen.
And they believed Moses, the servant of God. They didn't believe the devil no more. They didn't believe Pharaoh no more. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Amen.
Hey, when you get saved, folks, you stop listening to the whispers of Satan. You don't believe him no more. He can feed you all the lying baloney he wants to. But he cannot make a believer believe that junk. I don't.
Amen.
I don't believe we're, it's better serving me in the world. I'll give you all these things if you'll just bow down and worship me. I ain't going to tell you what I started to say. But I don't need none of his things. And I don't need him.
Amen.
I've got Christ and that's all I need.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you who I fear, folks. I fear God.
Yes.
That Bible said, don't fear man that is able to destroy your body that has no other power. But I'm going to tell you who you better fear. You better fear God that has the power to destroy both body and soul in hell.
Amen.
That's what that book says. I didn't write it. God said it.
Amen.
Now, here it is, their exit. They're coming up out of that Red Sea. And look at verse number 24. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked into the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, took off the chariot wheels, that they drave heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. Let us flee from the face of Israel. Israel wasn't doing anything. In fact, Israel wasn't even looking at them with their face. They had their back to them. They just crossed the sea. You'll catch that after a while. But now I'm telling you what, the Egyptians got all shook up. But what a point I want to make is, when morning watch came, hey, the Lord had, now you got to get a hold of this. That cloudy pillar and pillar of fire had been leading them. But in this situation, it got up from in front of them and went behind them. So they crossed that sea by their own faith, on their faith, that God had given them to cross it. He didn't lead them across. He trailed them across. You'll catch that after a while. He trailed them across. But here's the point I want you to catch. When it came morning, I just got this. I may have to get out and run, and I can't even run. It came morning, and the Bible said, and the Lord looked out of that cloudy pillar. He looked out of, here's the point I want you to get. When it come morning, he was still looking on. I'm telling you, come morning! Come morning! He'll still be looking on, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
No matter what we go through here below, come morning! Come morning! And there's coming the morning! He'll still be looking through, hallelujah!
Amen.
He'll be watching over us, protecting us, guarding us. He will become, if I'm saying this word right, our rear reward.
Amen.
He'll be behind us! Between us, I didn't say it right, did I? How's the word, Brother Chuck? You're an expert on these words. Is it just rear reward or
rear reward?
Rear reward. When somebody's behind you, protecting you.
Oh, rearward.
Rearward. That's what he was anyway. He was rearward. He was behind him, is what I'm trying to say. Somebody said, well, who's going to cover my, I've heard God say, I got your backside. I don't need you to got my backside. Somebody's already got it. Woo! Hey, man. His name's Jesus.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, come morning, he'll still be looking at you.
Amen.
He'll never lose sight of you. Somebody said to me the other day about a verse of Scripture. They said something about God will guide you with his eyes. Folks, that's a verse God gave me when I was in Bible college. I was trying to make up my mind how to go to, whether he wanted me to go to Tucson, Arizona or not. And I was reading through the Psalms. He said in the Psalms, he said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in a way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eyes. I said, whoop! He's still looking on me. Somebody said, he's still working on me, but I'm glad he's still looking on me. That's right. Hey, the whole lot going on for him to
There's a lot of business for him to take care of. But he takes time out to look on little old you and little old me. He's watching over us. If he guards and watches over the sparrows, thank God he'll watch over you and I as well.
It's a wonderful name. I'm about to get excited. Now, they saw their enemy conquered in verse number 30. They looked, and the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the sea. I want to ask you something. Have you ever, since you've made the crossing, looked back and seen your enemies dead? Would that everything in the world bother us? Have you ever looked back and saw them dead? Your enemies? Sin, Satan, society, and self. Because we're to be crucified with Christ. Have you ever turned and looked around and said, they're all dead! Well, how'd they die? He conquered them! That's how. He's conquered all of our enemies! And by the way, that last enemy that shall be destroyed is what? Death! Woo! Hallelujah to God. But He's already conquered them. When He said that last enemy would be conquered to death, He ain't saying I may have a problem with it. He has problems with nothing or nobody. And finally, when they got over on the other side, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. When they made the crossing, they had a song to sing. And they'd be, I don't know what. It's a song of saints on higher ground, I guess. I don't know. But what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, folks, that when them 420 elders in the book of Revelation, they had a song. And brother, when we get on the other side, we'll have a song to sing. We're camped out at Sukkoth now, but we're going to make the crossing someday.
Amen.
Now, I know the cross. I don't come up here and tell me now, we're crossing in the wilderness. And you to go. I know all that. I didn't start preaching yesterday. But I'm simply telling you, friend, I'm telling you that when we get on the other side, there's going to be a song to sing.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you what it's going to be. Somebody said it'll be a new song. Yep. But you'll find out that new song is the same old song we've been singing all the time. The song of saints on higher ground. Victory in Jesus. Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine. It'll be all about Him. We won't be singing about self. And by the way, young boys and girls, there won't be any boogie-woogie up there. There won't be none up there. There won't be any Hank Juniors. There won't be any, what's that little girl's name? Her daddy's name is Garbage Brooks. Garbage. Garth what? Huh? You know, you're smiling like a possum meeting persimmon seeds, huh? 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 Oh, you don't tell nobody. Good. I'll tell. But whatever that little girl's name is, she ain't going to be up there singing. You won't be singing her song. For us old codgers, we won't even be singing anything about the Beatles or Pelvis or any of that crowd. The monkeys will be a thing of the past. I saw something in the paper the other day about, said Mick Jagger gets married again. I thought the old codger ought to be in a grave. Here he is getting married. God, he won't be up there. We'll be singing about Jesus. So if you got any idea of singing anything else, get it out of your ever-loving little mind. It won't be there. And I'm going to tell you what, you won't be singing it in hell either. Things are going to be a little too hot down there on you to be saying anything. But God, have mercy on me. But there'll be no mercy to be had. You could have had mercy that day when you knelt at the cross. When you come to Sukkoth, made your way on down to the Red Sea. You could have had rest that day. But you wouldn't take it and you turned around and went back.
That's right.
And now you're under the clutches of Pharaoh and his army. Let's stand together.